And looking at what's happening on capetalk.co.za on a Monday morning is Barbara Friedman with us in studio this morning, chatting to us about what is trending. First up is Herman Mashaba.
Right.
Yeah. And he says, I'm no EFF lackey and Zilla is a liar, says Mashaba.
Yeah, look, it's this weekend. Can there's been a lot of spats going on.
Can we have a month of no politics?
Well, I didn't even want to talk about this, but I mean, Mashaba is one of the sort of Twitter trends, and he's furious. Although this morning I saw he tweeted out the sort of first council meeting in Joburg, so hopefully there's some calm there now. He won't be the mayor, clearly, because the DA have decided that they don't want him to, and they've intimated that he's sort of like, yeah, a lackey of the EFF. He says he's absolutely furious. He says, I'm not doing any bidding for the EFF, but if that's their view, then, you know, I'm happy to live with that title. A lot of the other smaller parties are also saying that they don't agree with the DA's approach to this and that they're kind of putting themselves first. I mean, people on Twitter saying, you know, they don't want him to be mayor because, you know, they don't want the Action SA to grow. And I don't even want to get involved in all of this, but it just seems quite chaotic to me. And I do always feel these are parties putting themselves first rather than the people of South Africa. Yeah, the people of Joburg in this case.
I mentioned it earlier on, and I thought that, you know, maybe politicians should just really grow up and start getting a bit of an adult approach to things, you know, in the sense that we need to have this municipality as a functioning municipality for the people in terms of service delivery, in terms of what we provide for them for the next 5 years, and us fighting, because what eventually happens is that the smaller parties through the years, 2-3 years from now, just get swallowed up by the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And that's not saying that Herman Mashaba and Action SA would actually do that. Mm. But I mean, this is the reality. The smaller ones, you know, the independent ones and the smaller ones get swallowed up. So it's kind of, you know, that, and I think 62 hung municipalities, in the country is going to teach us a very big lesson in terms of coalition governing.
I think Joburg is going to definitely be an interesting one to watch. I mean, the DA have put forward their own candidate, Mpho Palatsi, but obviously Action SA has 44 seats in the Joburg Council.
Mm.
And that's a substantial amount. And, you know, Herman Mashaba has never said that he would work with the EFF in a coalition. So this Steenhuisen and Zilla's claims over the weekend, obviously he's disputing. But again, I agree with you. Let them all just,
I think, let's work
for the good of the people of South Africa.
Work together. You've been elected, so try doing the best thing that you do. And now we have a Cape Town idols again.
But this is the biggest Twitter trend absolutely in South African Twitter, and that is Idols SA after last night's final. And I thought, let's just play out a tweet somebody posted about Berry, who won.
Fans coming to the spot. But now is the moment we find out who is that as their winner. In a unanimous decision, the winner of South African Idols Season 17 is...
Your... Dave. Barry's taking this one.
Barry!
I knew it! she deserves it, Davona.
I just played that tweet because I thought it was so sweet the way this particular Twitter user had recorded it off the TV set, and she was so excited for her. So there were two finalists, the first two female finalists in Twitter history in South Africa, as I understand it. Berry Tristman, her full name is Berenika, and Karabo Mate. These were the two women that were up against each other, who seemed to have a really camaraderie relationship between them. But Berry won. And I mean, she's 30 years old. She's got children. She's apparently entered multiple times before. Thought this was her last attempt. She was actually on air with Bongani Bingwa on 702 this morning. So I thought we'd play a tiny little last little clip of one, a little bit of her interview. But we're going to put it on capetalk.co.za. People can go there to have a listen.
I don't feel worthy, to be honest. I feel up there singing my heart out to make sure that I can give a little piece of me to everybody watching every single week that I'm on the stage. And I actually just feel so honored that everybody has, like you said, if they've fallen in love with me, I feel so, so honored that that is how they feel about my music and my singing. And I really hope that I can continue to make them proud throughout my singing career.
And she wowed the judges and won the hearts of millions of South Africans. There were 12 million votes in her single. Ungumwami is actually Isizulu's song, but the judges have said all along that they actually commended her for treating the language with reverence and respect. 12 million votes.
Yeah, and that's more than in the local government election.
And that's where our priorities are.
And I just think, and I was having a chat to Johannes earlier this morning in terms of elections, in terms of the fact that a few people under the age of 40 are actually going for vaccinations. And I wonder, how do we actually make things relevant to the youth these days? And this is exactly how you do it.
Absolutely. I mean, they obviously got their fingers moving and voted for their idol's favorite, but they don't go and vote. They don't really go get vaccinated. I mean, people don't. I think the thing is, young people don't really get politically aware until they have a proper job and they may be part of the economy and part of
There are a number of people that I chat to, very young people that I chat to, and they are very politically aware.
They just don't want to vote.
I just didn't think that it's making it very relevant to them. And if we don't move with technology, if the IEC is not going to think of moving
into... let us vote on our phones.
Yeah.
Joe's laughing. And then the last story.
Yeah, finally it's SARS, and it's the deadline for tax returns, but you may not be able to claim for what they call WFH.
Yeah. So I thought I would mention this because it was actually on Weekend Breakfast on Saturday morning. Sarah Jane King interviewed tax expert Charmaine Germeshuis. She works at Price Waterhouse Coopers, and it was obviously ahead of tomorrow being the deadline for your tax returns. The question was, can you claim if you worked from home for the space that was your office?
No.
And the rules are so strict. If you're a sole proprietor and it's an exclusive space that you're working in, that little space where you've got your desk and your chair, you can claim certain things. But if you're a salaried worker, and for a lot of people, they've been working at home for 18 months, the rules are so strict that this tax expert said 85% of claims are being rejected by SARS, and in fact, they're coming to do home visits and auditing you if you put claims in. And she said, and I thought this was an interesting quote, she said, even if you're using an office that you share with your spouse that is not considered to be used exclusively by you, so it doesn't count. And people were like messaging in very unhappy. So I thought that was quite shocking. And can I just make one last point? So what was said was that the old tax law, the Tax Act, it didn't take into account COVID or working from home. So the Tax Act in the past has been very strict. And what people were saying was it needs to change with the time so that it can include those of us that maybe sat on our beds working from home.
The problem with the problem with that, and I think I had an interview with an expert on this also, in terms of claiming now for you know, with the space at home and where you work exclusively, and you say to your wife, go and get your own space in the front room. But the thing is that going forward, what are you going to do next year when you return to work?
Yeah.
How does that affect you? So unless you are a nomad, or unless you are working from home on a permanent basis, it'll be good for you. So if the work says, we don't need you in, we would like you to work from home for the rest of your life or for the rest of your career with us, then it's fine, because then you can claim consistently every single year.
Yes, but you can't claim if it's a multi-purpose space. That's the key. So, you know, if you're a permanent home worker, but you sleep in that room or watch TV in that room or cook in that room, you cannot claim it. It has to be exclusively for work. Now, how many South Africans have enough room in their homes to have a study?
I use 20% of my bedroom. You can't claim for that. I think the key
the
thing
tax
is,
act needs to shift.
Yeah, the key thing is that the tax act needs to shift, and as COVID has taught that there's a lot of shifts that we need to be mindful of in terms of many things that happen in the workplace and outside of the workplace, and how secure is your laptop, and how secure, you know, cyber security, all of those things that have been lessons of COVID-19 has actually been a very important lesson for us in terms of how we do business and how we actually regulate business in terms of that. 0214460567